Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older. Luther King Day. Spaghetti and meatballs are fiddling with the knobs. We have babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess, and joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, a degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bry, Darren, the parlay kid. What's happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Martin Luther King Day, Sal.
Oh, good start. Good start.
What's going on, buddy?
You know, Harry, mute. What's that? That's terrible, Harry. It's Martin Luther King Day, you know. I mean, even my kids say Martha Luther King, and I pronounced the younger one. I was like, but Harry, I figured you would know. You don't even know what day it is, Harry. You posted something, and you said it was Thursday. What's wrong with you?
My daily, you know, daily video that I put up on Twitter every single day since we've started this. That's the first time I've gotten the day wrong, even though I have no idea after what I put in my tweet had nothing to do with Thursday. I did not write Thursday.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's one thing, Paul, I kid if it's Wednesday and you put Thursday, but it's pretty clear when Sunday just happened, right? In football season, it's pretty clear. And then the next day.
Right. Okay. His last few videos, he hasn't even gotten out of bed to do a video. He might really not know what day it is.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, obviously,
that
must be nice.
That's not the bed. That was the couch.
All right. Well, Harry's saying, well, listen, whoever's getting into Harry's Twitter account and writing the wrong day, please stop. It's confusing. It's disrespectful to Martin Luther King Day, and we don't want to have it. Now, I didn't want to start off on a negative because this was a big, big weekend for one of our cohorts here. Eddie Spaghetti got engaged and his Giants won. Congratulations, Spaghetti.
Hi, Fatty.
This was Thursday night. You proposed. I'm not sure why you didn't propose on a podcast. We have a perfectly good venue for you to do this. Harry did it. But tell us about it. Tell us how it went down. What was going through your mind? Give us the X's and O's, the chalkboard talk.
So we were obviously all in Vegas together. It did kind of go through my mind. Do I want to do this in Vegas? And I know it would be a fun event. We'd be with people to hang out. But part of me was like, what is more important, Jada's happiness or the content? And I was afraid to be in the doghouse. So as we were there, though, doing, you know, Extra Points Live, Propalooza, I was starting to formulate the plan, had an idea it would be Thursday or Friday. And then literally like 2 o'clock in the morning, right before we left on that Tuesday, I was up there all night just finalizing the details. So I knew for a few days, did the pods, didn't really give any hints out to people. Maybe Mikey Meatballs knew, I might have told him. And then Thursday after we did our shows, we had a fake dinner reservation plan at this place, Yamashiro in the Hollywood Hills. And sure. She showed up, she says now, she claims her intuition took over and she thought that, like, why would we be doing all these things? And why she said I was too texty. I was Ooh. Like, oh, what are you wearing and what time are you getting there? And I don't buy that. I think I was just being a normal boyfriend trying to link up and make sure our plans aligned. But I waited for a moment for like where the crowd was kind of clear. We're off to the side, had a good view of downtown Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Actually was a nice night, which is strange because lately we've had pretty bad weather here. And then after I popped the question, it was great. Had great pictures. Thanks to my friend Erica who helped out. And then we got a room at the Hotel Roosevelt. We hung out there all night. There's like a little lobby bar, a late night burger spot. They had like live jazz music. So it was really cool. There's like a pool party going on. Really cool spot to hang out there. It was great. So it went very smoothly. Yes.
Look at that. Congratulations, nice. Spaghetti.
You did Thank it. You.
Yeah, no, that's great. Congrats, yeah, I was thinking about that. You really have to, because, you know, there's the wedding pictures and the bride wants to look as great in the groom as possible. But then there's going to be the pictures of the engagement, right? So you don't want her to dress, you don't want her to have a Rangers jersey on.
Exactly.
So yeah, you have to be a little over texty now. Then a couple of days later, your Giants win. Which event was more exciting for you? I do have to know. Giants win or the engagement?
Yeah, I'd say the Giants win is one. I would say number two was that Rangers win over the Dallas Stars. I don't know if you guys caught that game with 0.7 seconds left. Kondre Miller scoring, sending to overtime, beating a good Stars team. Adam Fox scored that goal. That was great. I was watching that in the Uber ride to Yamashiro to propose. And then I'd say the proposal distant third, you know, sports comes first. No, I'm kidding. I mean, obviously I'm very
he's
happy.
Not kidding. You're serious. He's not serious. Kidding.
It's just our secret, guys. But yeah, that Giants game, I wasn't lying when I was texting you, Sal, and it was like you, Dave and Hench, that like when they stopped them on the fourth down, my chest really did start to compress and I started to kneel down by like my fireplace. And I was like T-boning. I was like, oh man, this hurts way too much right now. After 20 seconds of let up, and I was like, I just couldn't believe what was going on. Like, I know I've been saying, you know, 4-win season last year, just getting to the playoffs this year was a great feeling. But there's something, I had a feeling they were going to beat the Vikings. I knew the Vikings were a beatable team. Sorry, Harry. But I can't
lie. We're going to get to Harry.
It feels so good, not just to make it, but actually to advance. And like, you know, was Nick Sirianni lying about how injured Jalen Hurts' shoulder is? Who knows? That didn't look pretty great versus the Giants third stringers in the Week 18 game. So now, you know, it'll be interesting. The Eagles beat them twice already. Are they going to beat them three straight times? The Giants get one. It's exciting. I cannot be happier.
No, you should be happy. But I do want to caution everyone. This is not just spaghetti. There were times when you were saying 9-8, it's all gravy. It's all gravy from there. I'm not going to be disappointed in this team. And now you're talking about fighting off heart attacks. I mean, maybe it is the gravy after all that is the cause of this. But yeah, listen, it's part of being a fan. You can't ever say that. Like anybody. It doesn't matter if your team won zero games and made the playoffs. You are going to be rooting with every breath, every Daniel Dimes drop back. You're going to be right there rooting for it. And a game like that was tremendous. Now, Harry, I want to get to you. No excuse. I don't know why I bought into this. I stupidly picked the Vikings on this podcast. Even though I all year, guys, we were saying this is a paper tiger team. They're a minus point differential. Harry's like, Captain Kirk's going to do it. He's just biding his time. What do you have to say for yourself, Harry?
Well, it wasn't Captain Kirk's fault yesterday. That's for sure. He played a great game.
That's for sure. I don't know.
That's for sure.
He threw a 4-yard pass on 4th and 9 when
made no sense. Just throw that play. Just throw it up to Jefferson, and who knows what gets called. Mm. Definitely, you have to do that at that point. But again, the Giants, Daniel Jones, wore the already suspect Minnesota defense down. It was unbelievable. Every first down, it's either Jones rolling out and he scrambles for 8 yards or 9 yards, or he hits somebody for 8 and it turns into 12. Just and they're wide open underneath, all over the place. Jones 17 carries, 7 of them for first downs. Somebody, Hendricks, somebody, one of your linebackers, just shadow Jones, somebody beyond him. Again, this defense, and Jump Barkley was very good too. He ran really strong. He looked great. And
he did. He was 9 for 53. He had like a 28-yard run and then was probably like 2 or 3.
He had over 100 yards. Six catches for over 50 yards.
He said he was running strong. Well, no, Daniel Jones.
Hodgins, this is a guy who wasn't even.
Are you going to name every player on the team? Can we have a discussion here, Harry? Or are you going to go through the box score here? No, they look great. He had over 70 yards rushing in the first half, just really. And they scored first, right? The Vikings. So
yeah,
I really
long
feel
drive
like the,
too.
Yeah, the Giants really like laid it down on him after that. They really did. This every crossing route was open. Every, like you said, Daniel Jones took off. Brother Bri, you have to be impressed with that Giants win.
I was. I mean, look, I thought they were going to win that game. I thought, you know, we all thought it was going to be kind of how it played out. I mean, you could have picked either side, but you thought it was going to be close. I mean, there was a few mistakes there by the, you know, that 4th and inches when they go off sides there was a key point of that game. But yeah, look, I mean, I was kind of saying it during the game and I'm half joking, half serious that like, in the NFC, you really just don't know. Right now, you just don't know because they can go into Philly. Again, Eddie was saying you play this team a third time. You never know. Giants being healthy. I do think Giants defensively, I thought, struggled yesterday. They were pretty bad for the most part, too, except for they came up with a couple of key stops. But, you know, and you never know. Then, you know, I don't know. This Eagles team and the 49ers, I mean, while they've looked great and the 49ers looked awesome in the second half, you just never know with the rookie quarterback. So, look,
Oh, there listen, the Eagles have
actual potential that the Giants, I would not be shocked. I mean, they could get blown out too, but I wouldn't be shocked if you told me they made the Super Bowl.
Like, no, of course not. No, I don't think so. Listen, my dream is for the Cowboys to beat the Giants to get into the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's like the Giants are down two, you know, Hail Mary in the end zone. And, you know, I don't know, Hodgson gets mauled and they don't call it. I mean, that's my dream parlay kit. I mean, Eddie Spaghetti, forget it. Engagement off after that point. No, I will parlay kit, a bad call, maybe the worst call, I think, of the week. Well, until the Ravens ran on like on first down with like no time left last night. But I thought that pass back to Cousins was on third and one. What, you really want that guy in the open field? What the hell is that play going to do?
Unbelievable. Well, so look, this is why we're letting Harry off the hook too easily, because he claimed that this anytime they won a game this year, Sal, we had to hear about how great they were, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now he's basically telling us, oh, they weren't very good. They had so many holes.
Yeah,
they had so many holes. Harry,
but aside from what, you know, what we said here, Minnesota, when it was 24-21, New York, Brian just mentioned the procedure call. That wasn't Cousins sneaks it for fourth down from the 4 yard line. Though it's a first down, they call illegal motion. I still don't know where the illegal motion happened.
Well, we can get back to the referee. The referee was
atrocious. They get a touchdown there, and all of a sudden they're winning 28-24.
We can get back to that because the refereeing was atrocious all the way around, especially, like you said, and I benefited from a terrible non-call on Hodgins' touchdowns with the Giants. There was a major false start penalty.
Yeah, Spaghetti, are you all right with that? You're going to take this win after the clear false start on the Giants' first touchdown? I mean, I can't. The only call I know that was suspect. That's the only one.
How about the Dexter Lawrence? Like, I mean, the Dexter Lawrence call was one of the worst. Like, there's just no way around it. That's roughing. Like, he grabbed him around, like, the number eight in the jersey, and he didn't even, like, swing him to the ground. He let go. That's a major problem. Like, yeah, Andrew Thomas did have a false start. The Giants, the illegal motion they called them, the Giants, that negated their touchdown. That was an accurate call. There were two guys in motion. So they had some things right, had some things wrong. I mean, that's weirdly enough in this stage of the NFL, it's like you have to be okay with that. They're going to miss some things and they're going to get some things right. And you have to be happy
like
with
this. You know what? This is the perspective I'm taking, right? Parley kid, I'm just going to try to calm down in 2023. And the passer call, but I'm like, all right, if the Giants are truly better, they're going to stop them. They're not going to let them drive 70 yards. And they were, and they did. And that's it. And even in our worst call, Parley kid, Dez Bryant thing, which I still take to my grave that's a catch. You know, the Packers had the ball after that. Right. So I'm not going to, you know, the better team should win. The referees are bad. You know, 2016, 2020, both elections. All right.
But whatever. Sal,
finding dead people voted, but I still accept the result.
I get that.
Yeah.
But the Giants are a product of good coaching too.
Yes.
They had a great game plan. And we just so I can finish, I know you asked me about it, that third and one play call to throwing back to Cousins. Now, if you were to tell me Cousins was going to throw the ball off of that, he looked like it clearly just a runner off of that. It's really an extra brutal play call.
What is the absolute upside to that play? A 7 yard gain? If he,
many other weapons on offense.
Mm-hmm.
It was a terrible play call. But when watch the Giants, look, Dable's an excellent coach. Kafka is, and this is the most was going to hurt the Giants. Year one, Kafka is probably going to be gone after this year. He might be gone already. That's what's going to hurt. And you're going to have to pay up on Jones now. You're going to have to pay him as a top 10 quarterback in the league. Even I'm not saying he is, but his salary is going to slot into probably a top 10 quarterback in the league. You're going to have to franchise Saquon. Giants got a lot of decisions going on, but it's a good problem to have because they have been good. And a lot of it is, this is the difference between good and bad coaching. Look what Garrett did with this team.
Right.
Look what's happening now. They just seem like they have great game plans. They're a tough out. Dable is the difference on this team. So good for the Giants. They found a keeper. This guy could be, they should secure him for as long as he wants to coach there. I'm already sold on that guy. I'm already sold on it.
I am too. And it's weird with Daniel Jones because 6 weeks ago, I don't know if a lot of Giant fans, I don't know if a lot of, you know, even though they had a good record going in, I'm not sure anybody was committed to Daniel Jones. It's a no-brainer now, Spaghetti, right? He's you got to pay him. Got to pay that guy.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I've never been more sure. He's just the easiest guy to root for as somebody who like was literally there when he got drafted. And I know people make fun of me saying that I, like Dave always pointed, you were booing it. I wasn't booing Jones. I was booing the fact that the Giants had Eli Manning on the roster still and then drafted a quarterback. But this guy through all like the Pat Shermer years and going into the Joe Judge stuff with Jason Garrett, like PK was just saying, now to finally have a coach and an OC that know how to operate with a quarterback, make a good quarterback better. He's just protecting the ball. He's running when he has to. He's hitting. I mean, the Giants receiving core is so terrible and he's just still hitting every receiver like Richie James and Hodgins and Slayton and using the tight ends. Like he's using all the weapons. The guy is the first in the building, last out. There's no reason to not pay him. And I just don't see the benefit of looking towards the draft. And I don't think the system works for him. And I think they're in a good spot with him. And he deserves a contract. And I definitely give it to him.
And Parlay Kid, I know you're a Staley guy, and we'll get to that game in a minute. But my bigger point is good, great quarterbacks deserve good, great coaches. It shouldn't be too hard to pair up, right? It really shouldn't. You just shouldn't let really good quarterbacks die on the vine because you can't get your together picking a coach, right? And so they figured it out with Dayball. And, it's just how it's like pairing wine with fish or something like that. Got to get it right.
This is the difference, Sal, right? I think it's very important, too, though, that should the head coach also be calling the plays for their quarterback. I'm not sure if that's a winning formula either. I think there might have to be a little separation there as well.
Right.
And the Giants have Kafka. He's been great. He's also been great. For Jones's development, right? Where I don't know. Like I think you look at a guy like Staley, I feel like he's trying to do too much on that team. He's just trying to do too much.
No question
too much
about
going
that.
On.
Yeah. Also, Harry, one thing we have to learn, Kirk Cousins taking his shirt off on a plane. What a jackass he looks like now. Really, just got to think about these things, right? Unless you're going to win the Super Bowl, you can't do that 2 months before. I mean, I'll admit the Mets shouldn't have brought Timmy Trumpet to an August game. And Kirk Cousins, with his team's minus point differential, shouldn't be whooping it up topless.
Mets and Minnesota can learn from each other, I guess, right?
That's what you're saying? I guess so. I guess that's exactly what I'm saying. I could learn from this. I was going crazy about that one stat, Bri. First time playoff quarterbacks versus quarterbacks who have started a playoff game. Terrible. There was like 22% against the spread, right? And even worse in most recent years. 3-0 yesterday, right? You had Skylar Thompson covered. You had Huntley covered. And you had Daniel Jones covered. Covered
that was
one.
Pretty great. Yeah. The other two guys covering. Amazing, yeah. Especially the way those games started off. I mean, we'll get into those as we talk
about
them.
Yeah, let's do it. Well,
Sal, real quick, I did something for Harry. Harry, I just booked your one-way ticket to Thailand, so you're good to go.
All right. Make sure you're topless on the plane. Yeah, on the way over there. All right, so let's do these games right now. So the biggest blowout was the first game of the weekend, 41-23. 49ers beat up on the Seahawks, but it was close at half. They were losing 17-16, and it ended up being the most lopsided game. Geno was 9-for-10 in the first half. They had control. There was a dumb penalty, really dumb defensive penalty that put them in field goal range to put them up by a point. But man, I like this Niners team, and it really just seems like a matter of time before they wake up. And when they do, they put the hurt on everybody, and they destroyed the Seahawks, Harry, 41-23, and it's crushed me because I had the Bills as the highest scoring team of the week. It ended up being 49ers. Brian, what were the odds on the 49ers? That had to be 7 or 8 to 1, right?
They
weren't third. I don't even think they were third.
I don't think they were as high just because originally, you know, we talked about the other day, the weather's going to be crappy. They're doing the pregame. They're doing the pregame and still telling me it's going to be pouring out at the game right before the game. And it's sunny out. It's sunny out the whole game. Yeah. I mean, thanks for that.
So
both
on Seattle. But Purdy, I mean, it's more than anything, just looked so incredibly comfortable back. Four more total touchdowns, 18 now on the season combined with just four picks.
Yep.
And getting Debo back, geez, him and McCaffrey, oh, 300, yeah, 300 yards combined, those two.
Paulie kid, I was trying to figure it out with Simmons, who he reminds me of. Her.
That's an easy one, Sal.
Is it really? Because he said Rich Gannon. I'm like, I think we can go a little higher. Gannon won an MVP or something, right? Right. But
funny.
Man, no, why? Brian, I just think say that too?
It's funny that. So I, when you asked who, I didn't even hear them. I didn't hear you guys talk about that. But yeah, I was thinking Rich Gannon for sure. Cause I was trying, you're trying to think of guys like similar builds, like ran enough, like, pretty
that's
athletic,
why I got a good. That's why I think I got it's that's an easy comparison. Like,
who did you two think?
Russell, I was thinking Joe Russell Montana. A little
bit. Yeah, it's Montana.
Montana, but he's a better athlete, right? Though, like better. Jeez.
I think Montana was a good. I think Montana. See, again, look, Joe Montana is one of the all-time greats. Right. I'm obviously disagree. Not putting Purdy there, but I'm saying after five or six games, you know, he's wearing the same uniform. They're built similar. Have a very similar build to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the classic huge arm. Like Purdy's arm can make every throw, but he doesn't have that classic. Maybe, and that's probably why he was a seventh round pick. He doesn't have that classic, you know, huge arm.
Pass.
He can throw well on run to the right. He can throw well moving to the left.
To the left is a weird one, right? Like he really will roll left as a righty. He'll roll left and almost just runs out of real estate and just gets rid of it. I was saying, like, even on his, you know, wasted throws, he looks in control.
But isn't that Montana like, Sal? I feel
those
are the things Montana could do. He beat the Cowboys with the exact same play when pump, rolling out, and he just found an opening.
There's just, again,
a lot of it's the uniforms, a lot of it's the stature, but just saying he kind of does the things Montana does. He runs well enough outside of the pockets, right? He's good to the right, good to the left. I think it's an easy, as a 49, if you're a 49er fan, you're like, this guy kind of reminds me, and he's got the intangibles, it seems
nobody
like,
nobody wants
right?
to say it, just in case Micah picks him off three times next week, but God
right,
willing.
Because I'm not putting Purdy in the Hall of Fame yet, Sal. Right. We've seen athletes have a good five or six game stretch, but again, Sal, a lot of this comes down to one thing. Coaching. These coaches have put him in a great spot be successful.
But he's so smooth there, and he's so smooth. They're putting up 30 when he's in there. They're putting up, this is a totally different San Francisco team we're accustomed to. They're putting up 35, 38 with ease compared to when Garoppolo's in there. They're pulling out games 20-17.
I'm just much more confident in Purdy on like third and seven or something than I would with Jimmy G. I mean, I don't know. I think we've seen enough.
Right.
332, three touchdowns, you know, at a rating of one, almost 132. McCaffrey helps a ton. That guy gets big yards when you need it, whenever you need it, right? So that's as good a midseason pickup, I think, as we'll ever see. Wouldn't you think in football? I mean, we'll see what happens with this team.
And I think it was big for football to have that type of trade because you normally don't see those type of trades in the NFL. I think we'll see more of those going forward with players getting acquired at the midway point to help teams. You normally don't see that in football.
Yep.
Although and I will say...
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
I will say, like, on third down, it helps when you get the ball to Samuel and he's breaking tackles. But, you know, just breaking tackles, making phenomenal plays to get first downs. I mean, that helps a quarterback for sure.
Everyone runs hard. Everyone plays hard. They're kind of like an AFC North team in the NFC West, I noticed, right? And it just,
physical.
That's why I have that, right. That's why I still have them matched up with the Bengals in the Super Bowl. We're all going to have to do it, on the road eventually, I think. But all right, Jacksonville 31-30. We could spend an hour and a half on this game, so let's do it. The Chargers are up. First of all, there's talk that a better put up $1.4 million to win $11,000. I won't say where this bet was made. I don't, Brian, I don't know if I'm buying that. First of all,
books accept that, right?
Yeah, well, there's that, and it's all like the books don't publicize that, right? They don't want to show all the losers.
Right,
they show the 37-1 winning payouts, right, Bry? So I'm calling fake news on that.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, right? Because you're like, I mean, if it is, say it is real, right? I mean, yeah. If somebody put up 1.4, the crazy thing is when you look at the spread of that, right? You're like, that person put up 1.4 to win $11,000. If they did the exact opposite thing, that would have paid $30 million, right? Like it's $30 million to $11,000. Like,
yeah, right.
It's crazy. It's nuts. just absolutely crazy. But I benefited. I will say I had the Jaguars. End of the first half, took the Jaguars 20-1. 20-1.
Wow. Nice, Brian. Nice.
Again, there's certain teams. The Chargers, the Raiders, they are the same. There is no way the Chargers can blow anybody out. So even at one point in time, that game was at first half, you could have gotten the Jaguars plus getting 23.5 at some point in that game.
Right.
It's like at some point it's going to get somewhat close. I mean, maybe the Chargers are going to win that or whatever. But even again, even the Cowboys over the last 20 years, right? Teams just blowing things. So there are certain teams that you got to look at when the odds are that crazy, just because there's a possibility.
And Brandon Staley, especially this team, because I don't think he knows the object of the game. I think he might think like whoever scores 60 first wins. I don't think he knows like there's a clock that you could bleed. And when that hits zero, you win. When you hand off, the clock runs and stuff like that. I mean, parlay kid, this was really craziness with, you know, snapping the ball with 20 seconds left and, you know, 14 seconds left. And when you're trying to kill, they really could have bled 6 minutes. And then that last minute field goal doesn't matter. Right. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Babyface just interrupts us and tells us he was fired. In fact, do it anyway, Babyface.
Yeah. Look, you know, I root for the guy because he's a Dayton guy. So, right. Even though, you know, I know he finished, I guess, his career at Mercyhurst College, but that being said,
they knew how to win games at Dayton, right? There was a clock. There was a scoreboard with a clock there.
So again, here's the weird thing about Staley, right? Quarterback in college. I mean, not a big time quarterback, but played quarterback, probably a really bright guy. But as with the Rams, he was the defensive coordinator, right? Mm-hmm. On a really good defense, kind of a weird thing to have that. But now he's back in the offensive role. I almost feel like this guy, there's too many things going on for this guy, Sal. He's calling an offense. I think it's too much for him in game to handle. He's put too much responsibility on himself. Mm-hmm. And I think it came back to bite him, Sal. I think part of the issue, and I said this to Harry this morning, is, you know, it's almost as if, you know, up 20, when they were up at the end of that first half, they literally let the Jags come down and score, like as if it meant nothing. Oh, we're going to give you a touchdown here.
Right.
We're just going to give you a touchdown here. And it totally, I'm not saying, look, you're still up by a lot. You still can't lose that game. But they gave the Jags a little,
a little bit of hope,
a little ray of hope. And it came back to bite him. And then Staley's clock management was brutal. Herbert, let's face it. Let's not give Herbert an out here, because we talk about him being like an elite level quarterback. Did he make one big play during that game?
No, he
wasn't great.
You know,
far from great.
He wasn't great. The Mike Williams thing, could he have made it if Mike Williams was there? I don't know. He had a receiver go down.
Maybe, but he played plenty without Mike Williams.
But that Mike Williams situation is definitely all on Staley for playing the starters the week before against Denver and Sal. Up 27-0, guys. 27-0. At the end of the day, they had, and Sal, you're right, so right about the clock management situation, they had two more carries for the entire game than Jacksonville did, and they were up 27-0.
I think it ran seven times in the second half or something crazy. Something crazy like that. Well, I think that's what it was. Yeah.
He kept saying they couldn't get, like in the post game, he's like, we just couldn't get the running game going. It's like, well, you kind of really didn't try in the second half.
And I also, will we ever see that? I'm in the +5 in turnover differential and they lose the game. And I mean, that was one of the worst quarters by a quarterback ever, Trevor Lawrence, right?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. And again, like part of the kid was saying, like everybody, we love Herbert. Herbert's fantastic. We get texts, you know, from people saying how great Herbert is, but he missed a wide open guy in the end zone for a touchdown. You got to take advantage when you can. Look, if they didn't get those four or five turnovers, that offense was scoring 14, 17 points tops that game.
Yeah.
I mean, they were being put in positions to, you know, at least kick field goals regardless. So yeah, I'd be I don't know. You look at the score and you're like, well, the offense did enough, but the offense did not do enough that game. You cannot. Yeah, the blame has to go there. And like you were saying with the clock, Sal, we talked about this in the Georgia Ohio State game, right? Yeah. When Bennett, they were snapping the ball with 20 seconds left. Part of that, I mean, all of that I would say is coaching, that's prep work, but also some of the responsibility has to be on the quarterback. The quarterback, like when you know if that's a Mahomes, if that's a Brady, they're bleeding that clock.
The guy
they're
who says hike. Snap, the guy who's responsible for
very
saying
true.
The word
very
hike.
True.
That, they're getting that ball off of 1 to 2 seconds on the shot clock. Meanwhile, you know, they gave the Jaguars a few minutes for sure just by snapping at 15 or 20 seconds time in the second half. So I don't know,
if I could take a little bit more pressure off of Staley.
I don't think you could, but go ahead.
When it comes to Mike Williams, is the coach really the one making that call on a player playing? He could obviously sit him out, but I would think that stuff comes from up top, the GM on down saying, hey, this guy's not playing today.
Like, yeah, maybe.
That's an organizational call, isn't it?
I'd love to know.
That guy never should have stepped foot on the field.
I think it varies. I think Daboll, you know, was sitting the Giants week 17, 18, whatever the hell it was, no matter what.
I think they all sit, but they're all having a conversation about that, Sal.
Yeah.
That's not something that the head coach is just sitting there saying, he's playing, that's it. I would think that's an any type of things, that's an organizational decision that's being made. And again, still, maybe the decision was to play him for a quarter. But either way, it was a disaster for that team. I don't see how
this is one of the worst playoff losses ever, right? This has to be one of the worst. I mean, it's not an AFC championship game, so we might forget about it in 10 years, but pretty bad. I'm looking at the overall stats. First of all, time of possession was 32-27. Chargers should have been like 37. I'm telling you, even if it was like another 2 minutes, it would have been. It's not even like the Chargers had it. Chargers had no turnovers. It was 5-0.
That's crazy.
Wasn't 5-3
in the first half.
Yes.
And the Jags were 2-for-10 on third down. I'm just looking at these stats.
Darren too. Like, you commit 5 turnovers in the first half to 0, and you're up. Shouldn't you kind of be? I know it's only a half, but you should kind of still, considering where you picked the Lawrence off, should kind of be up more than 20 points.
Yeah.
All mess for the Chargers. And then they miss field goals and they do all their Chargers.
They missed the 40-yard field goal. Yeah. That was a killer.
The Bosa thing was bad. But, you know, it's all.
Thank goodness they don't have much of a fan base. Can you imagine if that was the Cowboys?
That's true. Yeah. No one was disappointed. Like, that's the one thing. Babyface, what are you saying here?
Well, also, like, I mean, Brian was alluding to, there's bad second half team all year. I mean, there was a Texans game I had and they let the Texans back in the game. But
that's right.
Just, I feel bad.
Yeah, just a mess.
It was a tough weekend for Dayton all around.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that, brother.
It was a bad weekend for Dayton. And I went 0-5 on my picks, so.
You did?
Me and Harry.
Join the club.
I really felt I could have easily been 4-1 with like a little luck. I mean, it was just
Well, you know, I was worried. I was like, Spaghetti, your Giants have to save the day because these 5 games, the other ones are going to be a bust. I wasn't sure about the Chargers. I mean, it's still a mess, that game. But they were all competitive to the end, except for the first one. That was 17-16 and a half. All right, let's get to Sunday. Buffalo-Miami.
There's breaking news. Darren will be interviewing with the Chargers tomorrow morning.
Oh, wow. All right. Do they know he's from Dayton? Did he lie about where he went to college? All right. So this was my best. I had the Bills plus 380 to be the highest scoring team. I think I picked this 37-13. The Bills got off to a 20-0 lead, at least I thought. And then I texted Simmons. I'm like, yeah, we did it. We're looking good. This is perfect. This is right where we want to be. Did you take the ranges? Did you take the Bills by 25 or more? Because I'd had all of those too. And then they get back from commercial. They take that. Was that to Knox? They took that Knox touchdown away.
Yep. Which was so
they
so kick close.
A field goal.
That was such a close.
It was close.
It was really close. Everything's so damn close these days. So now it's 17-0. So I lose those points. There was a Milano missed tackle. They get like 2 field goals, time consuming. All of a sudden, like, this is a game at half. Josh Allen is just dying to fumble the ball on any time he has the ball, anytime he's not passing. He has 30 interceptions/fumbles this year. It's really spectacular. Mm. And the game, Brian, took forever. I called it the prior to the snap ball because every play started with the referee saying prior to the snap, this one jumped offside. And I'm thinking, great job by the fans. The fans really won this game for the Bills, 34-31. Somehow they had 34 points with 2 minutes left in the third quarter. Couldn't get to 41, which I needed them to tie the 49ers. But, Bri, Bills struggling to beat the Dolphins. Skylar Thompson, not great numbers, and he was right there to win it.
Yeah, he had a chance. I mean, look, I had a big parlay leading out of Vegas that included the 49ers, the Bills, the Bengals. I mean, I was dying yesterday in terms of like, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I said in that Bills game, I'm like, if the Bills lose this game, I'm not coming on the pod tomorrow because I would have lost so much money. I mean, kudos to the Dolphins for sticking in that game. I mean, pretty much there's only certain ways teams can stay in games like that. And they did I mean, especially when you're down 17-0. I mean, at 17-0, it was minus 10,000, the Bills.
Right.
Dolphins were plus, at least, but Dolphins at least on some sites, 25-1, if not more. And you had to sweat that out because everything went wrong. Even when you thought the Bills get the ball back, you think, all right, they're going to come down and score here. And then the Dolphins get the fumble for a touchdown. So like everything went the Dolphins way. But again, there's definitely some question marks on the Bills offensive line, whether Allen's turnovers. I thought they didn't do necessarily a great job getting Allen into space to run a little bit. He was sacked seven times.
He was trying to
sneak through the middle a little bit a few times, but they never got him on the outside to run a little bit. Their line struggled defensively too. I mean, when you look at it, maybe numbers wise, they probably did okay. I mean, at one point in time, Thompson had only completed probably like 38% of his passes, but
a lot of drops.
It's question marks.
Well, yeah, so I want to talk about
question
that.
Marks on the Bills.
Harry, you grew up, they're going to call it Western New York, but upstate New York, Mikey Meatballs, you went to college in Buffalo. The Sun, I never, ever would have thought the Sun would be the big difference here with everybody dropping passes. Tyreek Hill and Waddle Shakir. Dropped a bunch and Shakir dropped Waddle. One. I think Diggs dropped one also. If the Sun's going to be a factor, you think it's going to be Tampa, Jacksonville. Week two, right? Wherever that game is. For what the hell? Why did the Sun? What business does the Sun have come again? The meteorologist failed us. But it makes me think. Like people, are like, well, if two is in there, they win this game. Like I don't know. Everyone's dropping passes all over the place. I'll tell you one thing: if Mostert's in that game, I think they win because they had 42 yards rushing. Maybe. Like Jeff Wilson led the team with 23.
Yeah, you're right. Plus, also you figure. You know, Brian just mentioned probably more than anything, Brian, it's so frustrating when you have the Bills on the money line and the game is 34-31. And yes, I mean, you mentioned drops by Miami. So they just had 260 total yards of offense. A team that puts up in a playoff game, 34-31, you figure there's 1,000 yards in the game of offense and both teams probably had 500. Miami just had 260 yards total. And Skylar Thompson, 18 of 45 throwing the ball, and they only lose by three.
I know that parlay kid. I was thinking about crushing the Bills defense here, but then I'm looking, wow, it was 262 of total offense. Like, why was this a close game?
Turnovers, Sal, right?
Yeah.
You know, Bills turning the ball over. Josh Allen, he's a turnover machine. I mean, people want to kill Prescott all the time for it, but Allen, between getting picked and fumbling the ball, he's been a turnover machine. Believe me, he's still
five times yesterday. Five times total.
That's what the difference is. And I personally thought that Skylar Thompson, under the circumstances, played a pretty gutsy game for the Dolphins. I really did. I thought he made some good passes. I think they dropped.
If he could run a little better, it was like 2 carries for 3 yards. I think.
Yeah, which I'm surprised because he was a bit of a runner in college. Right. I'm surprised they didn't have. Maybe that more in the game plan, but obviously the Dolphins just couldn't run the ball anyway yesterday.
Right.
But look, they played a pretty good game. Tip of the cap to them for staying in that game, man. I thought for a second there, and again, I lost on that game. I thought the Bills going to win 40-7 at one point.
Yeah, why not? They were poised. Yeah, McDaniel blew. I'm sorry. He thought he had a first down, right? And then he let the play clock expire. Not that you should ever, even on first down, let the play clock expire. But that was a big moment, right? Did that make it fourth and six? Yeah, I'm trying to think what that was. Yeah.
What do you think? You think McDaniel vaping while he's coaching is shouldn't too be vaping, distracting? Right?
Was that for sure what was going on? I saw it.
He was hiding it pretty good, but he was doing
it. Wow. Interesting.
Harry would know for sure.
Harry would know.
I'd rather know the wrong day than blow a playoff game, I guess, right?
Oh, there you go. Harry, yeah, you're due for a new favorite team. So this could be your coach right here. So right up your alley. Yeah. All right. So yeah, that was the prior to the snap ball. We talked about
he's a dork.
The Giants, Vikings. I don't know if we need to say any more of that. We'll get into that game against the Eagles. That's going to be fun. Cincinnati 24, Baltimore 17. They lose another lineman. Jonah Williams is out. So now it's Williams, Kappa, and Lael Collins, our guy, Parlay Kid, out. I just think this AFC North ball, I thought this was going to be a blowout too. And then I'm like, Because based on last week, the AFC North is just so competitive. You knew it was going to be a game like this. And the Bengals were driving. And as you saw, Huntley goes over the top with that, which I think, Parlay Kid, we're going to start seeing a lot less of that. I really do, especially with fullbacks being able to shove the quarterback in the end zone. It would make sense that you just go low every time with this, but that was the difference. Obviously, Hubbard runs it back almost 100 yards, and the Bengals win 24-17.
Well, thank you, Cincinnati defense, for making that play. Because I don't think I could have taken another week of watching the Ravens play football. So I'm ecstatic about it. Plus, I had them on the money line all over the place to finish off some bets that I left off in Vegas with. Right, Brian? Those high money lines. Thank goodness that happened. And like you're right, though, Sal. Isn't it amazing that the most simple play in football now, the quarterback sneak, is revolutionizing the game in a way?
Right.
Like, it's crazy that it is.
I was saying it earlier. I was like, you know, you almost, when you rank the remaining quarterbacks, you have to give great credence to how successful they are at the quarterback sneak. And Daniel Jones is as good as anybody with that. You know, the old fashioned Brady was, of course, right up there too. I guess he showed some signs of, you know, like he's got it back a little in the last couple of weeks, but my God, that Huntley over the top. And I don't know. Brian, did the Bengals win if they score from the one there?
I was really nervous. I mean, I was like, I don't know if the Bengals can score a touchdown at this point. Mm-hmm. Offensively, their line was a mess. They're really struggling to move the ball. I mean, granted, if they're down seven, I guess you got to trust Burrow a little bit in that situation.
So he is so smooth. He lets go of that ball. You know it's complete. And Higgins is just Higgins. I think grows like an inch and a half every week too. Just so much bigger than everybody else. Yeah,
very fortunate. But Burrow just 209 yards, and Mixon didn't do anything yesterday.
They never had the ball. I felt like that game.
It's a good game plan by the Ravens.
Six possessions for each team, and that was the game.
Well, albeit against Huntley, but. The Bengals and Ravens were the only ones who played defense this weekend. They really were, right? I mean, it was really something else. They stepped up, and I don't know, man. I love this Bengals team. I have them going to the Super Bowl, and now they're going to go to Buffalo. But those three guys being out, you just don't want. I mean, Burrow was only sacked four times. It seemed like it was about eight or nine. Who was it? Was it Roquan Smith who like whiffed on the third and one? And Burrow was like crafty and ran for a first down. That was a huge play.
Yeah. Oh, that was huge.
Plays like
huge
that. Play. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing with Burrow. He's so shifty. He gets his hips, you know, his feet just out of the way. I mean, otherwise this guy would get sacked 100 times in the season.
Harry, you know who he reminds us of, right?
Oh, definitely.
Rich Gannon.
The great Tony Romo.
Oh, yeah, he's a better Romo. That's what it is.
Put it this way.
I love Romo, but he's a hair.
Let Harry say something stupid.
He already has more playoff wins than Romo. Romo
he's
is
talking
one and
about
a half.
What he looks like, Harry. He's not talking about the body.
One
of
and
work.
A half playoff wins.
Oh, just saying. Okay. All right.
But yes, very much in the pocket, very much like
Yes. I'll say you gotta give Romo credit. No, he doesn't have to. He has to kiss his head, put his head right up his ass at a Halloween party, but he doesn't have to give him credit.
We're talking golf, okay? I like talking to people.
He needed to talk golf with you. He sought you out to talk golf, I'm sure. all right. What about Lamar Jackson here? Doesn't even show up for the game, Parlay Kid. Doesn't even show up for the game. Basically, I don't know. Was that tweet during the week about updating his leg and his condition? Was that a goodbye to Baltimore? Because
it might have been. It's kind of like the way Harry is on this podcast sometimes, right? Like, you're not sure. Yeah. Will he show up? Is his ego getting a little too big? Mm-hmm. You never know. Is he a free agent? Maybe looking elsewhere.
You can't just put a brace on that cough and tell him to play.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
But no, I think, Sal, it's time. I think it's time for Lamar to maybe look elsewhere and the Ravens to maybe look to go elsewhere, right? I think obviously the market for Lamar Jackson, I think, would be pretty big here, correct? Right.
Babyface, what happened? Something happened this morning? He said something?
I mean, it's very, I don't want to read the whole thing, but yeah, I posted another cryptic thing this morning. When you have something good, you don't play with it. You don't take chances losing it. You don't neglect it. It goes on and on. But I mean, it sounded like Harry talking about the Vikings kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we should just ignore it then. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I think it would have been just the smart thing of Jackson to not play, but just travel with the team. I think it would have just been better for him overall.
It's a weird thing because if he's they win that game, he could potentially play next week, right? It just didn't that didn't make sense. I get not playing and not being.
I guess
there.
He's
weird,
just though.
Some people were saying he was there. He was just in the bathroom. He was having stomach issues again for like 4.5 hours. But I don't know. I don't even know what to believe. All right, so let's quickly, obviously later in the week, we'll give our picks. But I want to go over these lines. So the first game Saturday, the Chiefs are home for the Jaguars. It's 8.5. Fair, unfair? I thought it was going to be 10.5, Bry. I don't know. I understand the Chiefs are weird. Mariota went in there and won, threw a touchdown pass to himself. I'm going years back. Baker had a good game, that Chad Henne game, right? That was the same divisional round. So you could get stuck. Chiefs to me are just so much better. I wasn't that impressed with the Jags other than that they were able to get it together. But 8.5 fair, I thought it was a little light.
I think it's fair just from what we've seen from the Chiefs this year, right? I mean, I got burned on the Raider Chief game. That was the one game that the Chiefs did cover. That game and the Seattle game were the two games they pretty much covered. But I think it's fair. I mean, there's a little bit of you'd have to say there's a little bit of magic, right, with the Jaguars right now, right? That game, the Titans game before, I'm just saying they shouldn't have won either game. And now they're here. So that would worry me a little bit. And just the way Lawrence played in the second half of that game would worry me maybe a little bit. I thought it would have been closer to 10, but I think that 8.5 is fair.
Well, kid, you're all right with that.
I think it is. Do not sell the Jaguars out. And remember, if anybody knows Andy Reid, it's Doug Peterson, right? So I think that's a big factor in this game and vice versa. I would suppose they spent a lot of time together. And as Harry will allude to, Peterson did what Reed couldn't do in Philly. Right, Sal? So, right, Harry?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
But their history goes way back. I think they know each other very well. I think this is a game probably either way. Sal, I mean, you're going to find this game on a teaser somewhere, I'm sure.
I know. I mean, are they going to just destroy our weekend if we have Kansas City on a teaser? It might not be as easy as Kansas City, Philly on a teaser. I'll tell you that much, Harry. 7.5. I actually nailed this exactly. I thought it was 7.5. It is 7.5. You think that's fair? Philly Giants.
Yeah, I mean, still, I mean, we know what Hurts is capable of when he takes off. Let's see if the Giants can stop him on the corners. Again, 13 rushing touchdowns, 750 yards. I think it's fair. Giants coming off an emotional first win in, I think, 11 years in the playoffs. So, I think it's fair.
Yeah. So it's still a Giants were a 6 seed, right? Giants were a 6 seed? Yeah. Still a 6 seed. I think they're finally giving the Giants some props here, Vegas is, because they would short them on the line. You know, a six against a one would normally be about eight and a half, nine, kind of like what we're looking at Kansas City, Jacksonville, even though Jacksonville was a four. But so I think they're finally coming around on the Giants, even so slightly, giving them a 7.5 and not a bigger number. Now, Buffalo, Cincinnati, I thought it was four. It was four. It's gone to 4.5. Partly, kid, this is all about, I don't know, you know, this is, there's a lot of emotion in this game. Obviously, it's a rematch from the DeMar Hamlin Monday night fiasco. It took place weeks ago. Some say Cincinnati should be the home team because they were trending to win that game. I point out, though, and listen, I had money on the Bengals and everything else, and I see that they were favored to win at that point for sure. But if you look at all these games, I just want to caution people, all the games we saw this weekend ended up way different than they started, right? Seattle up a little bit at half. They get blown out. The Chargers were up big. They lose the game. Buffalo looked like they were in control. That was a close game. Yep. Minnesota scores first. They lose. You know, Cincinnati was up big, or, you know, had control.
9-0.
That's a game. Right. It was 9-0. Yeah. So I caution people. Maybe it's a shame that Cincinnati has to be, go on the road now. But 4.5, you think it's fair?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's fair. Was I surprised with the line? I mean, if you would have told me to guess the line, I think I would have said 3.5, 4. So I would have been in the area. 4.5. I'm fine with that. I'm got to think about who I'll be riding with in that game yet. I think that's a pretty good number for the Bengals to be getting there. So
what a Sunday that's going to be, huh?
You know, we both like Cincy. Buffalo's been prone to mistakes. Boy, that's going to be a great game. Man, I can't wait for that game.
Those are great stories, at least story-wise. Buffalo-Cincinnati, great Sunday morning, Sunday late afternoon. Actually, yeah, they moved the start times there because for this round. And then San Francisco either against Dallas or Tampa Bay. Solid.
Thank God. I mean, not only for my bets. I mean, the bets, what I told you, I wouldn't have been on today. But if we got the Ravens winning that game, imagine we had the Chiefs, Ravens, and then you had Bills, Jaguars. Like, it totally would have screwed up next week.
Oh, yeah.
Now we get it's the best Giants winning two, Giants, Eagles. It's the best possible outcomes you could have got for these four games. Best possible. Yep.
Sure. I don't, it really doesn't get, our friend Alec was pointing out how unfair it is that San Francisco played Saturday and they're going to play the winner of Dallas, Tampa, who played 2 days later, then has to go to San Francisco. But how do you handicap that, right? Like, so that's only because the Giants won, right? If the Giants hadn't won, I don't think Philly would be hosting a Saturday. It's all over the place. I don't feel bad for these guys. I don't know how you do it. But so San Francisco, I think they're a 2.5-point favorite against Dallas and a 4.5-point favorite against Tampa Bay. I've been told that's light, Harry. I've been told that it might be like 5-7. Is that right?
I would be thinking if it's Tampa Bay, it'd be 5, 5.5, just because of the way what we discussed. I mean, you know, again, Purdy unflappable, and now he got Debo back, and him and McCaffrey combined for 300. And a couple of weeks ago, they just totally destroyed Tampa Bay, destroyed them, and they're putting up points at will when Tampa struggled to score. I could see that being 5.5 in San Francisco.
Well, yeah, maybe, but for Tampa Bay to have advanced, Brady's going to have another good game, right? Now he's one of the hotter quarterbacks in the NFC at that point.
Yeah, that one, the half again, but one of the hottest ones, but really he just had that half against Carolina to get them over the hump and have that big game against Evans. That's really been it.
I know, but if they win this game, I'm saying he's going to have to.
If they win this game 16-13 and Brady was, you know, so what, you know, not much. I don't know.
But I think Brian made the point just now about, you know, getting all the matchups we want. But I think Brian then would have to say Dallas has to win to get the matchups that
the best
matchups possible, because
San Francisco, Dallas is Tampa iconic. Bay,
it's ironic, right? They can compete with the Cowboys, but you really have a feeling, and we saw this just a month ago, how bad that game was. Well, when they went to San Francisco, that was a terrible game. They're just not built to handle San Fran. So I don't know. Maybe it's
the game might suck, but the league can't lose to Brady.
Great story. Further and
further. This is true. The league can't, but the fans.
This could be a defensive struggle and Dallas pulls it out. But the next week, if it's Dallas versus San Fran, who knows? It could be 41-38 in a game like that when if Dak's going off.
All right. Well, let's take a break, our first break of the hour, and then come back and do this Dallas-Tampa Bay game. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, guys. We got a game to win, Parlay Kid. We'll be right back.
Let's go.
Have you been betting with the Caesars Sportsbook and Casino app? If so, keep it up, because every bet earns with Caesars Rewards. That means win or lose, you're getting closer to amazing perks like game tickets, free stays, bonuses, and more. And if not, well, when you get started, your first bet is on Caesars. Register with promo code OMAHAFULL and place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get your stake back as a free bet. 21 years plus only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 or more wager only. Must register with an eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit, $1,250, must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms, void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem, in Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed to Horseshoe, Bossier, City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, which is 1-800-426-2537. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Dallas at Tampa Bay. Let's do this. Let's do this tonight. The Cowboys on the road, giving 3 points, went from 2.5 last night to 3, 45.5 is the over under. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm very confident going into tonight. I was a little skittish during the week, and then I'm like, this is an 8-9 team. More like we have to do this than we're going to do this, but I'm looking at the numbers. Everyone's all down on Dallas's defense. The Bucs defense is like 21st in EPA in the last 5 weeks. They're the worst team to bet on during the season. They're 4-12-1 against the spread. You know, Dak is going to throw a pick because he does. I'm hoping it's early. I'm hoping it's not an important sequence. I hope it's on the other side of the field, but you know, he's not going to be bothered too much by this pass rush. 22nd in the league for Tampa Bay. On the other side, I get it. Since Anthony Brown and Jordan Lewis went out, it's a crapshoot in that secondary. But Parlay Kid, we're getting back Hankins, right? Kind of big, because if you could stuff the run, you could put more guys in the secondary. And speaking of that secondary, you got Micah Parsons, who I'm calling Micah Possum. I think he's playing possum. He had a baby girl this week. He was snubbed from the Pro Bowl roster. He's getting healthier. I think he gives Tom Brady a fit. And the Cowboys win this game 28-21. Parlay Kid, I know you're with me, so let's get the pro Cowboys stuff out of the way.
I am with you, Sal, but you really sounded super optimistic there. Like, that's like, I know deep down you're not that optimistic. Like, deep down, that was a great acting job.
How deep do we want to go? Thank you.
That was a tremendous acting job on you, Sal. I bought it. I really did. Because you know that there's not really one true Dallas Cowboy fan out there that's thinking, we're winning this game. I know we're winning this game. That's why I'm going to just take Dallas on the money line at minus 145. I just want them to win this game. I'm not going to worry about the points here. I just want them to win this game. And look, there's a lot of pressure on Dallas to win this game on me again, because Sal, you know, when you live in New York and you root for the Cowboys, the Giants just won. The Cowboys cannot lose this game now.
I know it. I know it.
Right. And I don't want to give Dallas an out here by going with Tampa and saying, oh, I told you Tampa would win. No, win this game. You have to. This is a game this franchise needs. Tampa's franchise does not need this game. Dallas's franchise needs this game. Get it done. I'm with you, Sal, with Parsons.
Say it,
Paul.
Say it.
Parsons has a huge game here, Sal. I think Parsons makes the difference. Look, you're not playing a guy who's going to be running the ball as a QB, right? You just got to pressure him. And Parsons is going to do that tonight. He's going to have a huge game. DeMarcus Lawrence has to step up a little bit here too, Sal. He's been, in terms of rushing the quarterback, he needs to do a better job. Van Der Esch back too, Sal.
Yeah,
he
is supposed to be back.
He's back.
Supposed to be back.
We're kind of healthier than we've been. These guys should be primed to go. There are no excuses tonight. It's either, Sal, this is either going to be a great night for us or an absolutely terrible night for us. One or the other. We need it. I need this game, Sal. This is going to define the rest of my week here, Sal.
I know there's a lot of pressure on you. I mean, that's what everybody's saying out there. But it's going to suck, Paulie Kid, because we're not going to be able to celebrate if and when until that gun is sounded. They don't shoot a gun at the end anymore, right? At the end of the game. But you know, what do we have to be up on Brady in the fourth quarter for you to be relieved? Like 25-3, 26-3, somewhere in there. Because of that comeback.
Was it last year where I think there was a graphic that they posted when the Cowboys were up on Brady, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it was the first in, I don't know, a couple hundred games that the Cowboys had. It was going to be one of those things. I think I would feel comfortable. I think it'd have to be 17 points.
Yeah. Yep.
Is that crazy? That's crazy.
No, of course. No, well, he's come back from 16, right? 17.
Yeah, he's come back from 16. Okay, I feel good. Yeah.
All right. Harry, you like the under in this game. I don't know. I don't know about that.
I know. I do, though. I don't like either side. I think Tampa has to really slow this down like they did in week one when they played their best defensive game of the year when they beat Dallas 19-3 that held Dak 50% and only 134 yards. I think Dak needs to look out because the Tampa Bay secondary, finally healthy and ready. Then the defensive team, Tampa Bay, 7th in sacks in the league, but Tampa Bay just 25th overall in scoring in the NFL, and Dallas is D too. 5th best in points against. I think this is going to be a tight game like week one. Not a lot of touchdowns, more field goals in the red zone, and I'm going to go under.
All right. Brother Bri, boo to you taking Tampa in the three here.
Taking Tampa in the three. Look. Cowboys, look, they're 6-2 in their last eight, but I'm down on them a little bit, right? We've talked about this before. You've talked about it. I mean, Dak 11 interceptions in his last seven games. But if you still look over those last seven or eight games, right, they barely made it by the Texans. They struggled with all of the AFC South. The Eagles game, they probably lose if Hurts is playing. They have struggled on grass, on the road on grass. They've really struggled here. And the thing is, you know, we talked at the beginning of the year how great defensively they looked, how good Dan Quinn was helping out this defense. Then all of a sudden, you know, as you start watching the season progress and you have injuries on the back end, you're like, oh, man, this is kind of looking like the same Cowboys, which is bad against somebody like Tom Brady, who all of a sudden got a little bit hot in that last game against Carolina with Evans, you know, throwing the deep ball. And look, you can't forget Tom Brady, 7-0 against the Cowboys, right? 7-0 against the Cowboys. I do think, you know, and again, part of the kid was saying it after a big Giants performance yesterday. I don't know. I'd really be nervous about this game. I do think it's close. I do think, again, it's one of those. I think this is coming down to a field goal late. So I'm taking the three with Tampa here.
I'm just thinking of Dak and the turnovers, but we saw a very good quarterback like Josh Allen who's going against Skylar Thompson. It's going to be a different story here. Turn the ball over and they still win. It could be that type of game. But Parlay Kid, I'm imagining a guy with Brady's stats. By the way, he broke his season single record for yardage back there, not the Tom Brady back there who was 7-0 against Cowboys. That's how I'm at peace with this.
I agree with that, Sal. And am I imagining things, or did Harry go against his graphic pick?
He did. He did.
What did he do? He went over?
Well, and on their EP, the staff picks when he did, he took Tampa, and then he said today he wanted to take Dallas.
Because he's 0-5? Is that why he did that, Harry?
I love how you catch it down. Aren't you busy?
These things don't slip by.
No, they don't.
Harry.
Why are you changing your mind, Harry?
I can flip. I don't know.
What happened though? What happened that you changed your mind?
I don't know. I had to have those. Maybe from having to put the pick in early, I feel different. Maybe I catch a point. I catch a point here or there. Different, you know.
I gotta say, well, everyone shut up with having had the pick in early already. I mean, it's really insulting to Meatballs. Yeah. I mean, first of all, you don't even know what day it is. You think it's Thursday. So you complain about getting a pick in early.
Well, three-way tie, by the way.
Three-way tie and the staff. Hench is all over it now. Harry blew a lead here. But Harry, you're stuck. Whatever your graphic pick, that's what you're stuck with in terms of that thing.
Okay.
I got Tampa, too. I got Tampa.
Let's hit our props here. I love this one. CeeDee Lamb, longest reception over 24.5, -113. You can find that on Caesars. Three of the last four. I'm throwing that Commanders game out for everything. I told everybody it didn't mean anything. Three before that, he's had 34 or more was his highest reception. Before that Commanders game, he had 25 targets in two games. So they need him tonight. They need him to come up big, and he will at least come up big once with a 31-yard grab. That's right, early in the second quarter. Give me CeeDee Lamb, longest reception, over 24.5. Brother Bryant, Fournette, huh? This is rushing yards?
Yeah, I'm taking Fournette over 35.5 rushing yards. Look, he had an awful year, 668 yards, but in week one against the Cowboys, he had 127 yards rushing performance. The Cowboys were bottom third in the league against the run, even against a team like Washington last week. No names are getting 150 yards in total against them on the ground. But I do think Tampa's going to force this run early on in this game to open up the passing game for Brady. And even though Fournette's had a really bad down year, he still had 44 yards or more rushing in four of his last six games. I just think 35.5 is low for him in this.
All right. Harry, you're going bar over 4.5 tackles. You've been good with these.
Yeah. You know what I did last night? I went back because I hit all mine this weekend. I went back on my Caesars account to see what I am in terms of defensive players that I've actually bet on in terms of tackles. My last 15 picks, I'm 13-2 in terms of I'm 13-2.
I guess we just have to believe you there. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, listen, 13-2, and I'm going to go bar over 4.5 tackles. He's got six or more in three of his last four games. And the Tampa Bay team, definitely Brady loves to dink and dunk pass plays over the middle for short gains. Those type of pass plays are right on Barr's in his wheelhouse. He's always around the ball. I think he goes over 4.5 and does it fairly easy.
I like that. I like that a lot. Let him get all the tackles. Who cares?
Yeah.
Just as long as they're for loss. I really like this one. I mean, this is, I feel like it's a little fishy how low the Zeke lines are with touchdowns.
Right, right. So Zeke, anytime touchdown -116, Sal. You know, if we throw out last week's game against Washington, you know, nine straight games with a touchdown, Sal, for Zeke.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We know that, and I'm going to be coming back talking about Pollard in a second here. I do think the Cowboys are going to go to Pollard more often in this game than they probably did during the regular season. Like, he might be more of their featured back here in the playoffs. But if the Cowboys are anywhere near the goal line, it's going to be Zeke that they're going to kind of feed down there. So I'll take Zeke after coming off nine straight games with a touchdown, anytime touchdown at -116.
All right. I love that. And so now we get to our first touchdown part of this podcast. Usually you want to skip over this, but not so fast. First of all, Zeke was +380. I'm looking +410 now. Wow. +410. Still best odds to score the first touchdown on Caesars. Leonard Fournette, 6-1. CeeDee Lamb, also 6-1. Mike Evans, 650. I guess they have Godwin switched there. Godwin's +625. So those are the five right there. Parley Kid, you're right about Elliott. You said he'd scored in 9 straight previous games before that Washington game. 5 first touchdowns. 5 of those in the 9 were first touchdowns.
Man.
7 of those were the team's first touchdowns. That's pretty great. Plus 410 is way high. We've seen running backs with less of a touchdown resume in the plus 280 zone. Like even the Henrys and McCaffreys, who didn't score 9 straight before a meaningless game, didn't get to in the 3 range or plus 410. They're great players, but just tough to beat those stats that I just mentioned. So I'm going Zeke plus 410 first touch. I should mention we have our first touchdown pool amongst the staff, at least the people on this podcast. I had McCaffrey and Chase this weekend. So I think I'm in first and I have $20 on Elliott. It's a $200, $200 fake dollars to bet over the course of the playoffs. So Brother Bri, Evans, how dare you with all this Tampa crap?
I know. Well, one of us had to take Tampa because you guys are all over Dallas here. But look, Evans and Brady were off most of the year. I mean, how many balls did Evans drop or they just botched it? It looked like they were out of rhythm all year, but they finally got it back in the last game together with Evans going for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Right.
Evans scored the first and only touchdown this matchup in week 1 between these two teams. He was very big in the playoffs last season for Tampa, had a bunch of good games. So give me Mike Evans at plus 650.
All right. Paula Kidd, you warned us you're going to mention Pollard, and here it comes.
Yeah, Pollard, look, 12 touchdowns this year, Sal, right? So, sitting at plus 850 to score the first. I do think that we're going to see more of Pollard than Zeke in the playoffs. I think anything other than a goal line plunge from Zeke, which is very possible. I think he's going to certainly have that opportunity tonight, being that even Brian's under 1.5 touchdown, 1.5 longest, shortest touchdown hit in 4 out of the 5. I'm sure Zeke is going to have that opportunity to expand on that tonight. But I do think Pollard has just as good of an opportunity as Zeke to score in the first touchdown here in this game at much better odds, being that he does have 12 Sal. Normally doesn't score the first one, but we might see him earlier tonight than normal. Let's take Pollard at plus 850.
Well, here's why, although this doesn't necessarily factor into Harry. Harry, you said you have like an 11-teamer with or 7-teamer with Pollard that's outstanding, the only one?
It's a 5-teamer, but it's I had all first touchdown. I mean, anytime touchdown players over the weekend to the Bengals money line to Pollard over 47.5 rushing yards.
Okay, and then what? Yeah, so how much are you going to win on that?
1,100. I had Gabriel Davis anytime touchdown, Kenneth Walker anytime touchdown, Ezekiel Elliott anytime touchdown.
Wow.
Bengals money line with
Zeke.
Pollard.
You have Zeke. You have Zeke Elliott to score, so Zeke might not score.
No, yeah, I don't have Zeke Elliott to score.
Didn't he just say he had Zeke Elliott to score?
No, I lose my mind. I got Pollard over 47.5 rushing yards.
No, when you just listed
Walker,
what you had.
Zeke Eckler.
Joel, didn't he just say?
I said Zeke. It. You're right.
He said it again.
All right. All right. We'll figure it out. Shake it out. All right. But you're going Schultz first touchdown here.
Yeah. 8-1. He was actually the Cowboys' second leading receiver and second in targets on the team. He was also second in touchdown receptions behind Lamb with 5. And Tampa Bay has given up a touchdown to opposing tight ends in 3 of the last 4 games. In the game they didn't, it's when Arizona had the third string quarterback in. So Schultz at 8-1.
All right. There you go. Those are our first touchdown picks. Check it out. ExtraPoints.com/arcade. These guys give out free picks every single day. It's gone on for almost 1,000 days. They won't stop. I'm like, take a day off. They won't do it. They just absolutely won't do it. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back to wrap things up. I do want to mention our Super Bowl predictions. Mine, Niners Bengals was 13-1, now down to 10-1. Bri, yours Eagles Bills from before the season, even. Good job by you. I think it'll be about the same. I didn't figure out how much it is, but it's probably about the same as what we discussed last week.
750 last week. Yeah, it's probably
750, maybe in the 6 range right now.
Yeah, a little bit lower. I could do this quick.
It's like high fives. Yeah.
Basically 6-1 now. Yeah.
All right. Parley Kid, you definitely obviously need the Cowboys to win tonight for that Cowboys Bills. That'll put you at a good number, good place going in. Just win that game. Let's win. And Harry, just you're win. Done, right? What did you have? Chargers, Vikings? Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Wow. Disgusting. Babyface, I feel like he should hit a cap of consequence for his Vikings to not even win one playoff game, right? After all this talk.
Well, was it on the graphic? I mean, are we sure that was? Come on.
By the way, in the Chargers at halftime, I was on the phone with my best man at my wedding, Sally, your son. And I told him, told Jack, they just scored. Jacksonville just scored. Don't count out the Jaguars just yet because he was into the game. And I said, Jaguars aren't done. He's like, you're right.
Wow. Good job. Well, you got something right.
Yeah. Taking credit for Jacksonville winning now. That's good.
Yeah, nice. I guess we'll talk more about this tomorrow. We have our pool, our staff pool, where we each pick this 14 players, 14 roster spots. You pick one player from each team. You can't pick more than one. You can't pick less than one. I think I'm in last place. Babyface,
who,
I think
who are you your quarterbacks, Sal?
Last. Well, we have Dak going. I think it's Dak and... Who do we have, Babyface? Dak and Allen?
We would have been in a lot worse trouble had you listened to me. I was adamant that you pick Eckler, and you said Etienne. So thankfully...
It's just so weird because Eckler might end up with more points than Etienne. Right. But I don't even know. It just gets so... You could really think about it for 4 hours because there's flex positions and everything. You're like, all right, do I want Eckler or do I want the Chargers kicker? So I just... waste that roster spot, or do I want the Dolphins defense? Or
who was your Seattle player?
What's that?
Who was your Seattle player?
Who was it, Mikey? I can't remember. Was it Walker? Oh, we might have gone receiver. Who do we go with Seattle?
No, wait. Did Harry come up with that this or Jen come up with this? I can't remember.
Harry came up with the yeah, and then Jen's like, yeah, that exists. Point scoring.
Yeah, you know what? I hate it. It's stupid.
It's no good.
It's not stupid. It's actually great.
What place are you guys in?
It's somebody's
it makes you have to think, Brian.
It I does, know. But somebody's advancing anyway. It's not like you're...
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
true. I'm trying to...
Unless you have a kicker. Unless you put that worst team as the kicker.
It's strategy. Yeah. For Miami, we took...
Well, you kept telling us how great of a pick Eckler was, but like...
Guess what? You don't lose 27-0, and it would have been...
Well, right, you said
we had the kicker with Sanders from Miami. That was the perfect Miami player to take.
Yeah, no, I guess so. That's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. Like, pretty much hit that kicker, I feel like.
Right.
Where are we in the standings right now in that house?
I haven't looked. I'm sure Mikey knows, but I haven't looked.
Lemon Pepper Parlay is in first place, and they have Dak. So they're gonna increase the lead. So there you go. Nice job. Well,
I know
Will Blackman put a lot of time into this, and it paid off. Yeah. But yeah,
nice job. So, Will.
Yeah, you can't question the mind that came up with the Sonic Slushy. Add the nerds. Just don't question this, okay? Yeah.
How did we not go to Sonic in Vegas? It was right down the street. And Chris H. Gave me a gift card too.
Because he did? Someone.
Yeah. Why is he giving you a gift card? You've cost him so much money. He gave you a gift card.
Yeah, for Sonic. When I saw him in Florida.
We were supposed to do a bang bang. The plan was to go to In-N-Out and then White Castle, which everyone wanted to do.
I'm still willing to do it.
And then someone's legs got tired, and I can't.
I know that was so weird.
Harry's legs or Mario's
one legs? It wasn't both my legs. Harry's it was my right legs. Leg.
Can you imagine Harry had the weakest legs out in Vegas amongst the company that we were with? And he has the weakest legs.
I don't have right. Mario has the weakest legs.
No, obviously not. He was willing to walk.
Yeah. Well, you're right. And Scott had a wheelchair. Yeah. What a mess. What a freaking crew. We'll never get him back. All right. Listen, we are coming back. We're doing our second podcast of the week immediately following the game. And I promise you, the Parlay Kid and I will be in a good mood as the Cowboys will take down Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. And there goes his legacy, by the way. No longer the GOAT after Dak Prescott puts him away. That'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Spaghetti and Meatballs, Babyface, Joel Solomon, and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na